turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians. And the title of this message tonight is Genuine Christianity. And Paul defines genuine Christianity. He defines it in more than one book. He defined it to Agrippa and Bernice. He defined it to the rulers and to the common man. In his Ephesian letter, he tells us about real Christianity. In the book of Galatians, he tells us about genuine Christianity. In 1 and 2 Corinthians and in Philippians. And this chapter, in the second chapter, it is just a tremendous story. Every word that he writes in here has great meaning and great depth to it. We're going to read from verse 24 through verse 30. We're going to try to finish this second chapter of the book of Philippians tonight. And this is lesson number 12, by the way. And verse 24 says, really, I am confident and fully trusting in the Lord that shortly I myself shall come to you also. However, I thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus back to you, and he has been my brother and companion in labor and my fellow soldier, as well as having come as your special messenger, apostle, and minister to my need. For he has been homesick, longing for you, and has been distressed because you had heard that he was ill. He certainly was ill too, near unto death. But God had compassion on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow over him, sorrow upon sorrow. So I have sent him the more willingly and eagerly, that you may be gladdened at seeing him again, and that I may be the less dejected and disquieted and discomforted. Welcome him home then in the Lord with all joy, and honor and highly appreciate men like him. For it was through working for Christ that he came so near to death, risking his very life to complete the deficiencies in your service to me, which distance prevented you yourselves from rendering. Now let's go back and look at these beautiful words that Paul wrote down. You know, Paul invented words. Paul must have been a tremendous student of literature, because he uses words that are found maybe only one other time. Sometimes he invents words. We have Paul's dictionary, Paul's syllabus, so to speak. Verse number 24, pei poitha, de in curio, hoti kai autos, toxios, elusomai. Paul says, I am thoroughly persuaded in the Lord, because also myself, shortly and quickly, a little adverb there, toxios, we'll get our word taxi from that, where you get a taxi or a ride real fast. You can look that up on page 614 in Thayer, by the way. And I shall come for myself to you, I hope. I'm wanting to do this. Paul's whole life was centered around Christ. And everybody that he came into contact, he says, do like me. Center your whole life around Christ. His life was centered around Judaism, wasn't it? in his earlier part of life. When he was converted on the road to Damascus, he wholly gave himself to the ministry and the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the center of his mind, of his heart, of his very soul, and all of his energy. Verse number 25 now. Anag kaion de eges summen epaphraditon ton adelphon kai synergon kai sis thratiotain mu himon de apostolon kai liturgon tesk krios mu pamsae prosimos. This word here starts out, it says necessary, indispensable. The word means indispensable. It means to compress. It's on page 21 in Analytical Greek Lexicon, by the way. And it cross-references over to 418 also. He said, it is indispensable. And I calculated for myself Epaphroditus, the brother. Now, Epaphroditus, Epaphras is a shortened form. You heard of the name Jimmy. My name is Jimmy. The shortened form of the name Jimmy is Jim. Eleazar, the shortened form of that is Lazarus. Eleazar means God helps. Lazarus means helpless. Eleazar means God helps. Lazarus means helpless.
Lazarus.
Epaphroditus, the brother. Now, he calls him the Adelphon here. And I think that he really means this. We have brothers and sisters, and sometimes our brothers or sisters, our children, our mothers and fathers don't love us like the ones that are real brothers and sisters in Christ. They love us more than anyone else. Many times that's true. The brother. It means from the same womb, doesn't it? Adelpha. Adelphane. Adelpha. The name Delpha, it means womb. And fellow worker. Sin ergon. Now that word work there, ergon, means the product of employment or the product of energy. Our fellow worker. They're fired by the same energy. They got the same fuel source, and that's Jesus Christ and the grace of God. And the fellow soldier. You know, a soldier is in danger, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Many times, a soldier in danger. And Paul is using this word, he's defining real Christianity, and he says, this is real Christianity. Listen, I'm defining it. He's our fellow worker. He is our fellow soldier. And that means that he's in danger with us all. And Paul is going to use some scary words. Our fellow soldier, belonging to me and of you. Moreover, he's an apostle alone. This word apostle here is not the what we call the office of an apostle. But he said he was sent by you because you couldn't be here to take care of me. And for another use of this word in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 23, you can see another use for that word apostle. One of the first gift placed in the church was what? Apostles. And then it says, and kai leitorgon. The word leitorgon there means a servant. It means a like a janitor. Like a housekeeper. Now, To be a housekeeper in the house of God is a wonderful privilege. I'm telling you that right now. To be a minister, to be a servant, to be to clean the latrines, basically. To mop the floor. To polish. That's what that word means. He said he was a minister. He was my servant. He was my caretaker. He was my housekeeper. He said of necessity. That word kreos there means individual need and want. Page 438. Analytical Greek lexicon. I was in great need. And to send toward you let's go back and read those two verses again. But really, I'm confident and fully trusting in the Lord that shortly I myself shall come to you also. However, I thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus back to you. He has been my brother and companion in labor and my fellow soldier as well. See, he was in danger, see. A soldier is in danger. Having come as your special messenger, apostle, to minister to my very necessities. Verse number 26. Epaide, epipothon, ein, pontos, himas, kai, ademenon. Very rare words right there. Diote, ekousate, hote, eisthenason. Now let's look at these words. They're beautiful. Here we have a little epaide. That is a conjunctive. It means because, in as much. It comes from epe and de. Since, in as much, holding, longing after you. And this is a continuous thing. Nominative singular masculine present participle active. That means epi and potheo. Epi means to have a passion upon. Epi upon and potheo. It means to lust after. It means to want. It means to desire. It means to love. It means to have compassion and desire. Longing after, he kept on being. He was longing after all of you. And ademenon. That's the only time this word is used in the New Testament. And what it means here is being troubled. It means, and it's nominative singular masculine present participle active. It means to be continually homesick for your people. To be homesick for your people. When I go down to California, I like to see my children, if I can do that at all. Because I'm from my people. That's what it says. And you know the people down there that I'm homesick to see very much is for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because sometimes they love me more than my own family. And this man here is people sick. It means he's homesick from his own people. He's away from his people. And then Diote, because you heard that he was ill. He was sick. He was weak. He was bewildered, depressed, in a sick and mournful condition. Number 27 now. That's a long verse. Kai gar esthenason. Para plesion. Thanato ala hothios. Ele eisen. Auton, uk, auton de monon, ola kai me, hina me, lipain, epi lipain sko. Now we have for indeed. Now this word, that little word gar there, page 75, and the Analytical Greek Lexicon, page 1190, A.T. Robertson's grammar. And then we have the word kai. The word kai here is not a conjunction, because we have the casual particle conjunction there, gar. But kai here is a particle of affirmation. It means yes, indeed, absolutely, amen. Mm-hmm. He was ailing. He was sick. And then this word is only used one time in the New Testament here, paraplasion. It's a little adverbial preposition. It means to place alongside. He was near, close to, right there at the point of death. Thanato. He was almost dead. And then we have a strong adversative conjunctive. Conjunction here, ala. But, you can look ala up on page 15, by the way. Ho Theos. The God of heaven. The God. He showed mercy. He showed compassion. You know, the title of Jehovah, one of the title of Jehovah in the Old Testament was a man of loving kindness. He showed loving kindness upon him. That word auton there is accused of singular mass and third person pronoun. Not him only, but not him only. Uk, that's an adverb of negation. Auton, accused of singular masculine again. Third person pronoun. Weak adversative conjunctive particle, page 85 that day there. And then monon, that little adverb of limitation, 272. But, ala again, strong adversative conjunction, also here now is a cumulative particle, kai. You can look out on page 208. Kai plays a lot of parts in grammar. But also me. Hina, in order that, now we have a particle of negation here, may, not grief upon grief. Lipe. Lupi, you know the name Lupi? Women have a name Lupi. Lupino, Lupi. That means grief. One that grieves. The word Mary means one that grieves.
What about Guadalupe?
Guadalupe, that means four. Four sorrows. Grief upon grief that I might have. First person singular, second aorist, subjunctive, active from echo. Grief upon grief that I might have. If he'd have lost him, he'd have had grief upon grief. Verse number 28 now. I hope you're enjoying these words. Spu de oteros. Un epempsa auton hina idontes auton Pauline carete cago alu peteros ho. Now we have the word spu de teros. A little adverbial here. It means with great speed. Our word speed comes right out of this word. With great speed, quickly, therefore, I send him. In order that, having seen him again, you might rejoice. You might rejoice. And I also. Now it means here, here's a compound adjective. It means free from grief, I might be. Free from grief, I might be. And this little word, O, there, that's person singular, present subjunctive active from Amy. That not grieved or less sorrowful I may be. Verse number 29. Prostexeste un auton en curio meta passes caros. Kai tus toiontus entemus ecete. You receive for yourself. And that's imperative, right? That's a command. You receive therefore Him in the Lord. Receive Him in the Lord. Because God gave Him back to you. God gave Him back to you. Has God ever given somebody back to you that you thought there was no hope in the world that they were ever going to make it? Has that ever happened to you? I know a year ago, Marilyn was gone. She was going. She was slipping away. Every day she was weaker. And I begged hospitals all over California and all over Nevada. And finally, Bishop California said, bring her over here. I said, she's going to die within a day or two. I took her over there. And I told them what medication to give her and what to do. And the elder boy called me on the phone. He said, you know what? That's exactly what the doctor said you're going to do. It's exactly what you prescribed. But he said, I don't know whether we can save her or not. That's what we got to do. But we don't know whether she's going to live or not. Well, the Lord gave her back to us one more time. I guess I needed you, huh? The Lord needed you to live a little bit longer. Receive Him, therefore, in the Lord with all joy. Because He's alive. And such ones, you clothe them with honor. En timos. That word comes from tomeo. And en, it means you clothe him with honor. You heap honor upon him. You put a royal robe upon him. And you hold him in great honor. Verse number 30 now, the last verse in this message.
Okay.
Hote
dia
to ergon Christou. Mekri thanato egeson para boule salmonos. Te psyche hina anaplerose to himon hister rema. Tais pros me liturgias. Beautiful words in here too. Rare words. Because of the energizing, the product of employment of Christ. You know, there's got to be a place and time in your life when you ask the Lord to forgive you and save your soul, there needs to be a place like that in your life. There needs to be a point of time when you were saved. Just like there's a point of time when you're born into this world, there's a point of time when you're born again. But that's not all there is to it. God doesn't birth us to die, does He? And just lay there. I remember a long time ago. And I tell you what, I'm an old man. But a long time ago, I used to sit in front of this little fella, Dr. Carl E. Farrar. I never saw such energy out of a crippled man in my life. I repeat that. I never saw such energy and absolute enthusiasm out of a cripple of a man in my life. He got a disease when he was 5 years old and he never walked again. His legs just crippled up. Muscular dystrophy. He went into a clinic back there in Louisiana or someplace that the Masonic Lodge had, the Shriners. He went to Shriners Hospital. And they broke his legs all up. They broke his bones. They broke his feet. They broke his ankles and put him in cast. Because they were so crooked that he could not walk. He laid there, rolled back and forth, and went through a tremendous amount of physical therapy as a child now and a young man. Till he could walk with braces and crutches. You see people of courage like this. Franklin Roosevelt got polio, infantile paralysis, and that man had people had to hold his arm and help him walk. And he had horrible braces on his legs, but he stood up there and he spoke to people to give them encouragement and to save this country. Dr. Farrar, I never saw such energy come out of a man that was just basically had to drag himself from classroom to classroom, from his little house to his classroom. I went to his home many times. I had dinner with him and his wife, Lois. I gave him a fishing boat. That just thrilled him. He got his a stepson, and they went out and they go in the ocean, they go in the lakes, they go fishing. That was one of the little simple delights that he had. Let's go fishing. And it was just a great joy to him. But the greatest joy that I saw in the man's eyes is sitting there and tears coming out of his eyes, telling us about Jesus Christ and teaching us how to be a soldier. I just absolutely adored men like that. I had great honor. They were clothed in honor by God because of what they did. Dr. Martin Camden, having heart attack after heart attack, atrial fibrillation, arrhythmia, they put him in the hospital. They shock his heart, and they didn't know really what to do back then much. He'd get out of the hospital and go to the seminary and teach us boys. Soldier in Christ. Because through the work, the energizing of Christ, unto the point of death, he drew near. Now we have this word here. Parabolesomenos. That is nominative, singular, masculine, first aorist, participle, middle voice. And this word is a very rare word. It talks about sailors risking their lives out on the open sea and on the dangerous shores. It talks about men risking their lives in battle, exposing themselves to danger. Now, Paul says we are all exposed to danger because of what we are. I think about all of those Christians in Afghanistan, the indigenous people and the missionaries that have gone there, that have been exposed because of ignorance, recklessness, to death because of who they are. Exposed to death. It means to expose oneself to danger. To gamble with life. To gamble your life. This is real Christianity now. Among my people, the Lakota people, I am Dakota and Lakota both. Santee Dakota and Brule Lakota. From my grandfather's side and my father's side. During the Lakota people, a brave man of the tribe would go out and he would risk his life. He would expose himself to danger. He would ride into a camp and instead of exposing all of the warriors, there is a skirmish between two tribes. And a brave man would ride on a white horse so he could be easily seen into that camp. He'd jump off of that horse, take a tomahawk, or a club, drive a stake in the ground that was tied to his arm or his leg. And he saved all of you brave men. You come out and meet me. You meet me instead of all of those behind me. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He staked himself out for our sake. And because that he did that, Paul said we need to expose ourselves to danger also. He died for us. Why shouldn't we die for him? Why shouldn't we die for him? Polycarp. They were going to burn him at the stake. Matter of fact, they actually executed Polycarp in three ways. Burning, stabbing, and beating. He was to be burned, he was to be beaten, he was supposed to be stabbed, and he was supposed to be burned. They kept trying to get him to denounce Christ so he would live. He was an old man. He was real old. This is one of John the Apostle's disciples. And they asked him, all you have to do is deny Christ and worship the ruler. He said, my Lord didn't deny me on the cross of Calvary. How can I deny him? Polycarp exposed himself to danger. Para delo menos nominative singular masculine present or first aorist participle middle voice. Throwing down your life, the very soul, in order that he might fill up of ye that which was lasting, hysterema, that which was lacking toward my service. This man exposed himself to great danger. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know whether he got sick by some means of illness or weakness, or whether he was beaten. Paul was beaten, wasn't he? He was beaten unto death, and God raised him up. He was stoned unto death, and God raised him up. He said, boy, your job is not finished yet. You're going to go out there and suffer a little more. I want you to show people what genuine Christianity is. I want you to live it. I want you to breathe it. Bleed it. Paul told these Philippians there, put your blood where your money is. You're not only giving, but be willing to bleed for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people over there in Afghanistan are. One family had been over there 8 years. They're running from one village to another village. Running for their lives. And what do they do? What have they been doing over there for 8 years? They can't pray in public. They can't mention the name of Jesus in public. All they can do is secretly teach about the Lord and maybe lead somebody to the Lord. But in the meanwhile, they're laying their life down. They're exposing themselves to a horrible, hideous death of crucifixion, burning, beheading, whatever. Beating. True Christianity. True Christianity, true righteousness, true belief and true faith. That's the story. True Christianity, true faith, true service, true sacrifice. Paul is teaching us that today. In our little mediocre world, in our Laodicea times that we live in. Father, I pray to use this message for your honor, for your glory. Father, touch hearts and lives. Help those that are in safety to appreciate it. And yet knowing that sometime they might not be saved by just preaching the Word of God. Please use this message for your honor and for your glory. And please forgive me, for I fail you.